12 minutes past five, and welcome to Mark van Jaarsveld, who is the head of the Community Active Protection. Is that correct?
That's correct, Kathy. Good afternoon, everyone, and it's wonderful to be back.
Oh, it's lovely. It's so nice that you like our music here.
I do. I really enjoy it.
All right, so 85% of contact crime actually initiates in the driveway.
Yeah, look, those aren't our stats, but I think...
But they're security stats, and they would be from areas in which you are operating.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, I think what's safe to say is that one can differentiate between attacks that happen in the driveway and where the driveway is used as a point of contact to then escalate into the home and to, you know, carry out, you know, house robberies, etc. So that's certainly, I think, in most cases, accurate. But there is a differentiation, and, you know, in security terms, always very dangerous to generalize, because a lot of different things influence, you know, the way criminals behave and all of that kind of stuff. But in general, I think that that statement is correct. You know, what we've noticed in CAP communities is obviously where you have communities that have got better physical security, higher walls, electric fencing, you know, alarm systems that are working and armed, generally speaking, driveways will be your point of contact because that's generally the weakest point in your perimeter. But, you know, where you've got communities that unfortunately maybe aren't as affluent or, you know, don't have the funds available to spend, you know, on raising their walls and putting in 10 strand electric fences and all those kinds of things, you know, then your breach through your physical perimeter is still, you know, a real possibility. And in some cases may actually exceed your driveway as a point of contact or, you know, the initial place where the incident might take place.
That's quite interesting. So do you have stats, crime stats with you at the moment? Like, can you tell us the difference between high-income areas, low-income areas? Do
that,
you have those
that differentiation
kind of stats?
Would be very difficult, but
why?
What we can say, if one, because I don't have them.
Okay,
on me.
But are there such stats?
Yeah, obviously one could drill down into
if
that level
criminal,
of detail.
If I was a criminal, I'd look at the houses with the biggest and the highest walls and the highest electric fences and the security guard outside, because I would know that that would be a house to target.
Yeah, but it's also more complicated. It's more dangerous.
It is.
You don't know what's behind the wall potentially. So as I said, there's
many
you know, there are many factors. But I think, look, currently in Joburg, what we're seeing is this follow home, you know, modus operandi, which has been around for a very long time. It has definitely reared its ugly head again. And you know, at the moment within the CAP communities that we're looking after, that is the most prevalent type of threat. In other words, you're sourced based on something that you're wearing, you know, like a Rolex or a nice watch or nice jewelry or the car that you drive, and you followed home. Typically, those incidents then won't escalate into the home. They're normally contained to the driveway, and it's a 2-minute crime maximum. You know, where they'll follow you to your driveway, they'll hold you up, they'll take your belongings and they flee. So the actual, you know, contact that you have with the criminal is very quick. So that's what we're seeing. I think the article that you referenced, if I'm not mistaken, was a News 24 article.
Yes.
You know, that's, it spoke a lot about, hardening your gates, whether it's a sliding gate or a swing gate. You know, more from criminals using it as a means to gain entry into your home. So those incidents happen. But at the moment, in terms of current trends, it's not something that we are too concerned about. But it has been, for example, during the course of last year, a modus operandi that we did see.
What are the trends?
So at the moment, it's follow home attacks from mainly shopping centers and your restaurants. Not one particular shopping center, but, you know, a general variety of them throughout all of the suburbs. So CAP today has got quite a far reach. You know, obviously we started in Glen Hazel, but we protect areas as far as Victory Park and areas in Bryanston and throughout all of the communities in between that. That is the most prevalent attack at the moment. It's follow home crime. So, you know, not to digress from the driveway component, but I think if I could just maybe give a kind of 2 minutes.
Definitely. And I also wanted to, after that, I want to talk to you about child snatching.
Sure.
Because that's a big thing in shopping centers.
Sure.
And we're not having those conversations enough.
Sure. So yeah, just on the follow home side, you know, what we've seen is generally it's, you know, all perpetrated by males of variety race groups. So it's not
until
a particular race group. Yeah, until it isn't. And obviously I'm generalizing, but most of them, you know, 99.99% of the incidents, And what we've seen is that a suspect will source you in a, you know, let's just use a grocery store for, you know, as an example. And the criminals are smart, you know. We all think that they're down and out and that they're uneducated. But criminals are very, very intelligent, and they've evolved, you know, and they blend in and they do all of these kinds of things. And what we've seen is that, you know, generally a person will be sourced by a single male who's in a shopping environment, you know, and he'll buy a Coke or a par, or a packet of chips, or a packet of a pair of socks.
Becomes a customer, so he becomes a customer. Invisible.
So, in other words, legitimizes his reason for being there. But I think if you're aware enough, you can pick up, you know, if you're standing in a grocery queue and everyone's got a trolley, but there's one guy who's walked in potentially and bought a Coke and a packet of chips, that's something that should stand out to you and should, you know, you should take, let's call it, notice of. And if you see that individual following you throughout the shopping center, then that's the, let's call it the alarm bell that should start ringing in your head. You know, if at every shop that you're at or every store that you come out of, this guy's, you know, miraculously in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, but sometimes it does happen legitimately that you go to a store and somebody else is there, and then
correct.
You both leave and then you end up in the same store.
You know, I wouldn't say to the community you must report every single person now like that. I'm saying I think there is a successive, or there are other factors or markers that happen, you know, so that if you see the person following you through the shopping center, through the different stores, you know, that's the really the point where you should stop and actually take action. And the first thing we like to tell residents is, you know, don't go to your car. Obviously, don't go home. Stay in the shopping center. Report it to the shopping center security. Immediately notify CAP. And, you know, if it's within our reach, we'll send a team out to assist you. And once you've done that, you know, when you have security people around you, you can then exit the mall safely and obviously call us again to escort you home. We've had a resident do that, by the way. We've communicated all of this in email over the period of the last 2 years at various points. And we had a resident in Glen Hazel who was at a shopping center. She picked up this behavior. She was actually buying clothes, and she picked up a guy who was standing in the queue with her, who all he had done was buy a small pair of socks, which she thought was unusual because everyone else had a number of items in the queue. And she left the store, and she was, you know, followed throughout her time. She was there for about an hour in the shopping center, and she picked it up, and she took the exact behavior that we had asked in our newsletters. You know, and she's like a living, breathing example. We responded, we got there, we realized the individual is actually known to us, we know who he is, and that incident was prevented.
Was a criminal.
He definitely was a criminal. There's no two ways about it. But at that present moment, Tom wasn't doing anything wrong. Okay. You know, so I think that, you know, if our community can become more aware, can be empowered, can read our newsletters, a lot of this information that we're giving you today is in our newsletters. You know, and then practice it, it's gonna help all of us, be safer. And then in terms of the drivers, and then to come back to, you know, we can come back to the child snatching, incidents as well. But in terms of the driveway, you know, as I said, these do happen, and you get sliding gates, which are your normal gates that open, you know, sliding either left or right, and then you get your swing gates. In terms of sliding gates, really there's three things that you need to do. You have to protect the motor. Okay, which is obviously through a cage or something like that. You also then need to look at the rail, which is the teeth that are effectively connected to the gate, that the motor opens the gate. And very often criminals will use a crowbar or a pickaxe or something like that to break the rail, and then it's off the motor and they can open the gates, or they can lift it. So you have to have means in place to prevent all three of those things being tampered with and the gate being lifted.
All right. So Mark, unfortunately, we are out of time.
No problem.
Just tell me very quickly, because we've got to go to Rolene Marks and get our Israel report. How do people subscribe to your newsletter? Can anybody subscribe to your newsletter, or do they have to be residents in the areas in which you do security?
Generally, anyone can subscribe to our newsletters, but you know, if you don't live in the area, each newsletter is tailor-made to the specific threats that community faces. So obviously, if you don't live in it, the benefit that you might derive might be
Do you post tips on your site?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
And Adam in our communications team, you know, is very good at personalizing every different community's newsletter. So read those, and you can send an email to communications@capgroup.org.za with your details, and Adam will add you to your relevant newsletter.
Mark van Jaarsveld, head of CAP, thank you very, very much, and I wish you and your family Chag Sameach.
And to you and all your listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.